I want to look with you for a few minutes into God's Word and see what God says about baptism. There are many views being taught and believed about water baptism. Many believe that water baptism saves you. It's part of the good deeds message that's being taught. Some will tell you if you'll get baptized in water and join the church, you're good. You'll get into heaven that way. This is not true. Some say water baptism washes your sins away. Well, there's nothing magical in this water, in this baptistry. If it were, then every person that takes a bath in the city water system, Laurel Hill would have all their sins washed away every time they take a bath if there was anything magical in this water. It's not. The water is not. I heard a song just a few days ago, as a matter of fact, about somebody being baptized and turned the water muddy because of his sins. It washed away. There's nothing to that. The water don't wash any sin away. Like one fellow says, if you can be baptized, you know every tadpole by name, but if you hadn't accepted Jesus Christ, all that water baptism is useless. Doesn't do any good. And so some have also even tried to change the method of water baptism to make it more convenient. But this loses much of the message and the significance of water baptism. First, we need to realize what the Bible actually says about baptism, and the fact that the Bible speaks of two different types of baptism. Now, I want to look at those briefly, the two different types of baptism. First, there's the baptism of the heart. This happens at the point of salvation. The baptism of the heart occurs when a person comes to the place of believing that Jesus Christ is, in fact, the only begotten Son of God. He is, in fact, the one who willingly gave his life, hanging on a cross, after being beaten beyond recognition, after being falsely accused and ridiculed and spat upon, and all manner of abuse that was put on him. He was hanged on a cross where he gave his life to pay for our sins. When a person believes this and he repents of his sin, accepting Jesus as Savior and allowing him to become Lord of his life, he's saved. Okay? This is the baptism of the heart. At this point, you die to yourself, putting the old sin nature to death, burying that old sin nature. You're raised to walk in newness of life. You become a new person, a brand new person. Old things are passed away. All things become new. The things I once loved, I now hate. The things I once hated, I now love. There's a change of heart that takes place because we've put that old sin nature to death. We've buried that old man, that old sin nature, and we've been baptized in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6 speaks of that, and I'm going to read the first several verses in Romans chapter 6, where it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin hath no more dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. And so the baptism of the heart is the first and most important baptism that exists. More important than the water baptism. Is water baptism a requirement? Is it necessary for salvation? No, it's not. Is it something that we should do in obedience to Christ? Absolutely it is. The thief on the cross was not baptized, but he was saved. Okay? So we have Scripture to support that, but we also have Scripture that tells us that we should follow in believers' baptism. So the second type of baptism that's referred to in the Bible is water baptism. There's an example found in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 39, where we find a man named Philip who had been preaching to the Samaritans. And the angel of the Lord spoke to him and told him to go down towards Gaza. And he started in that direction, and he came upon a eunuch, an Ethiopian eunuch, that was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit spoke to Philip and told him to go join himself with the eunuch. And so he went over, spoke to the eunuch. The eunuch asked him, or he asked the eunuch, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I except somebody explain it?" And he invited Philip to sit with him. And Philip explained the Scripture, beginning there where the eunuch was reading in verse number 6. It says, "And as they went on their way, they came..." I'm sorry, let me back up to see where they were reading. The eunuch was reading. It says, "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch, when he read that, asked Philip, "Who is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about somebody else?" And then Philip started at that same scripture and preached to him Jesus Christ. He told him. He shared the gospel message with him, told him about Jesus and how that Jesus was in fact the one who had died to pay for his sins. And then as they went on their way, the Bible says they came upon a body of water, and the eunuch said, "Hey, there's water. What hinders me being baptized? Why can't I be baptized?" And Philip said, if you believe, you may." And the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now this morning, I want to take just a few minutes to look at the why, when, and how of water baptism. Why, when, and how. And we're going to look into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, and talk about the why, when, and how of water baptism. In Matthew chapter number 3, we find the account of Jesus when he was baptized. In beginning of verse 1, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, 'O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruit, meat for repentance,'" or fruits that give evidence of repentance. "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able to of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, or because of repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is at his hand, and he will thoroughly purge the floor and gather his wheat under the garner, and he'll burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus to Galilee, to Jordan, unto John, to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me?' And Jesus answering said unto him, 'Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.' And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased.'" So here we see the account of where John was baptizing there in the Jordan River. When some came to be baptized, and John would not baptize them in the water baptism because they had not repented. And then when Jesus came to be baptized, and John said, "Whoa, wait a minute. I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "It needs to happen to fulfill all righteousness." And so this is part of the fulfilling all righteousness when we follow also in believers' baptism. And so why should we be baptized? Again, when Jesus came to be baptized, and John wanted to argue with him, Jesus said, "For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." And so we do this because this is what God has called us to do. It's part of the commandment that God has given us. And so why should we be baptized? We are baptized to follow the example set by Jesus Christ to fulfill all righteousness. In other words, so that that we do what Christ told us to do. He set the example and tells us to follow Him. That's what we are to do as Christians. As actually, the word Christian means Christ-like. We are to be Christ followers. We're to follow the example of Jesus Christ, doing the things that Christ did, and we're to follow that example and to do the things that He did. And water baptism is one of those things that we are to do. And so with water baptism, we're publicly professing our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, painting a picture of what happened the moment we experienced the baptism of the heart. The moment we were saved, when we died to the old self, the sin man, when we put that old sin nature to death, we buried that sin nature. We were buried in Jesus Christ and raised to walk in newness of life. And the water baptism is a picture of that. When that person has died to self and is buried in Jesus Christ and is raised to walk in newness of life, a new person, a new creation. No longer that old serving sin man, but now one that's serving Jesus Christ. And so we're given that commandment over in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, which we call the Great Commission or Great Commandment. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So why should we be baptized in water? Because God commanded it. Because we are to follow the example of Jesus Christ. And so that's why we should be baptized in water. Then when should we be baptized in water? What is the prerequisite for water baptism? Repentance. Jesus, teaching on repentance in Luke chapter 13, repeated himself and said both in verse 3 and again in verse 5, "I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Repentance is an absolute prerequisite. A prerequisite to salvation, and certainly a prerequisite to water baptism. Here in this scripture we just read in Matthew chapter 3, in verse 2, John told the people, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In verse 6, then he said, "They were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Confessing, repenting of their sins. And then in verse 8 he says, "Bring forth fruits meet for repentance." In other words, a lifestyle that gives evidence that there's a change that has taken place. So many times we see people who will make a profession of faith or they'll be baptized and then it seems like there's nothing changes. You know, they're the same person, the same old habits, same filthy language, the same lifestyles. Nothing changes, which gives strong evidence that there's never really any real repentance and no change that's taken place. There's been no baptism of the heart, because the Bible says when we experience that, baptism of the heart, that salvation, that there's a change that takes place, and we become a new creation, a new person. Old things pass away, and all things become new. And so, water baptism without repentance, without the baptism of the heart, is a waste of time and energy. Does nothing for you. except give you maybe a false hope. Many people have been recipients of that. You know, a lot of times there have been people who have been baptized and didn't really understand what they were doing. They just did it because somebody else was doing it. Maybe a friend was being baptized and they want to be baptized too. I've had many people come to me and say, "Pastor Mike, I want to be baptized." You know. And I say, "And why do you want to be baptized?" "Well, I just want to be baptized." You know. I mean, that's a waste of our time and our efforts. And besides that, when you have gone through that, Satan uses that to keep you from ever genuinely repenting and being baptized after genuinely repenting of your sins, because Satan will tell you, "Oh, you don't want to do that. You did that, remember? And now if you do it again, people are going to say, 'Oh, he just, you know, he don't know what he's doing.' You know, you're going to make a fool out of yourself. You know, make people think you didn't know what you were doing when you did it." And so it's more difficult when a person goes through the motions and it's not real. It makes it more difficult for them to genuinely make that decision and that choice later on. And so why should a person be baptized? Because it's commanded of God. And we're to follow the example of Jesus Christ. When should a person be baptized? After repentance, after salvation, after experiencing the baptism of the heart. And then finally, how should a person be baptized? According to God's Word, when baptism is mentioned, the person is immersed. We are baptized into Jesus Christ at salvation. We're immersed. We actually are immersed in Jesus Christ, in our faith, in our belief in Jesus, in what Jesus did for us, what He continues to do for us, and we're immersed in that. In the water baptism, we always see that they went down into the water. Jesus went down into the water when John baptized Him in the Jordan River. He went down in the water. He came up out of the water when Philip baptized the eunuch. The report we have over in, account over in Acts chapter 8, when they saw water, and he said, "What hinders me from being baptized?" And they went down into the water, and they came up out of the water. And so, just the definition of baptism, period, means to immerse, to put under. And so, you know, there's been a lot of people over the years. Sprinkling was actually started many years ago as a form of convenience. It's more convenient, you know. I mean, it's more convenient. We can, you know, sprinkle a little water on a fellow's head and say you've been baptized. You know. Well, I'm not interested in convenience, okay? All right. I don't think that Jesus was really interested in convenience when He suffered all the abuse that He suffered and was hanged on a cross where He gave His life. That wasn't very convenient for Him, I don't think. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of things that we read about. Most of the things we read about Jesus, none of them really shows a whole lot of convenience, does it? But it shows commitment and a willingness and a desire to serve people. And so I see no reason for us to try to do something out of convenience that compromises God's Word. Okay? I've been involved with some people in the first church that I pastored was down in Red Bay, Florida, and there were two other churches there, a Presbyterian church and a Methodist church, and one congregation pretty much went to all three churches and never had conflicting services. And I've spoken to some of the most faithful and educated of some of those in the other denominations and said, "Can you show me the scripture that supports sprinkling versus immersion?" And they're never able to to show me anything. It was started out of convenience. And so there's no scripture that I've ever seen, and no scripture that anyone's been able to show me that supports anything in baptism other than being immersed. For water baptism, immersed in the water. For baptism of the heart, being immersed in Jesus Christ. And so, when we follow the example of Jesus Christ, we're baptized. He was baptized not to wash his sin away, but because he had no sin, but he was baptized to set an example for us to fulfill all righteousness. And again, baptism is the painting of a picture of our salvation experience, as well as a way of publicly professing our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, it says, "In whom also you're circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism." Buried with Him in baptism. Not sprinkled, but buried with Him in baptism. "Wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead." And so, why should we be baptized? Because God commands it, and it's in following the example of Jesus Christ. When should we be baptized? After we've experienced the baptism of the heart. After we're saved. After we've committed our lives to Jesus Christ, trusting Him to be our Savior and allowing Him to become Lord of our lives. And then how should we be baptized? By being immersed in the water, showing that picture of the death, burial, and resurrection. Just like the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we die, we're buried in Jesus Christ, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. And for that, we come today to experience that. Because Colston has committed his life, he has experienced that baptism of the heart, where he's trusted Jesus to be his Savior, allowing Him to come Lord of his life. And today, he comes again to publicly profess that and to paint that picture of what's happened to him in his heart as he has died to sin, he's been buried in Jesus Christ, and he's been raised to walk in newness of life. Let's pray. Father, God, we love You today. We thank You so much today for this opportunity, this privilege, this honor of celebrating with Colston today, Lord, again, his salvation experience, and to see him and experience with him the public professing and the painting of that picture of what's happened in his heart. And God, I pray for that person who may be seated in this place today who's never experienced that baptism of the heart. God, if there's one here, I pray, Lord, today, the Holy Spirit speaks to that person, drawing that person to Yourself. Lord, so that they too can be prepared, be ready. For Lord, we know that Our Word teaches us, Your Word, the Bible teaches us that You are coming back. And we believe You're coming back soon. And those who are not prepared, who are not ready, are going to be spending eternity in a place called hell, where there's never, ever any possibility of relief. It's eternal torment. The only escape for that is salvation, accepting Jesus as Savior, allowing Him to come Lord of our lives, repenting of sin, and allowing Jesus to take control of our lives. If there's one person who's never done that today, I pray, Holy Spirit, speak to that person right now. And help them, Lord, not to hold back. Lord, but to stand boldly and take that step of faith, Lord, to trust you to be Savior and allow you to be Lord of their lives. Right now, we thank you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me for just a moment, and we're going to give you an opportunity. There may be somebody here that's never experienced that that salvation, that baptism of the heart. And if you've not, today will be a really great time for you to do that. Today is the day of salvation. There'll never be a better time, a better day than today, because tomorrow may never come. This evening, you may not see the sunset this evening. As a matter of fact, you may not see noon today if you've not trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You may spend eternity separated from Him for eternity, and you don't want to do that. If there's anyone, if there's any decision that needs to be made quickly, we're not going to tarry, but if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you want to do that right now. Would you slip out from where you are and come forward? Allow me to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me, but I'll pray for you. I'll pray with you, share Scripture with you, whatever I can do to encourage you and help you. Anyone quickly.